The first reading is taken from the book of Romans, chapter 16, verses 22 to 24. And it can be found, if you want to follow this reading, in the pew Bibles, the blue Bibles you can find in the pews. It's on page 1142. So Romans 16, starting at verse 22. I, Tertius, who wrote down this letter, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, whose hospitality I and the whole church here enjoy, sends you his greetings. Erastus, who is the city's director of public works, and our brother Quartus, send you their greetings. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our gospel reading is from Mark chapter 10, verses 35 to 45. And if you'd like to follow it, it's on page 1015 of the Pew Bibles. So that's Mark chapter 10, verses 35 to 45. The request of James and John. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. They replied, let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory. You don't know what you are asking, Jesus said. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared. When the ten heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. This is the word of the Lord.
Do you take a seat? So, as George said, we are looking this morning at Erastus. We're continuing our morning series on Christian character. And we're looking in the direction of Erastus as a public servant. And as George told us, Erastus is mentioned just three times in the Bible. In Romans, which we have just heard read to us, in 2 Timothy and in Acts. And as with many of the other characters that we've been looking at, they are mentioned with just a small comment. But they are nonetheless mentioned in the best and best sold book ever. I don't know if you have any idea how many copies of the Bible are sold every year. No. Apparently, it's 100 million copies of the Bible are sold each year. And as these 66 books in the one Bible were collated over 1,600 years by about 40 people, as God inspired and God created writings, we hear of Erastus being included. Millions of people throughout generations have heard his name and a tiny bit about what he did. It can be so easy for us to skim over these lesser-known characters, but it's the whole people of God that matter. It's the whole people of God who have a place to contribute and share the gospel, share the good news. And it's through these people, through their different connections, through their different gifts, that the command, go, make disciples of all people, is able to be fulfilled. Apparently, Erastus was quite a common name in biblical times, so commentators argue over whether the three mentions of Erastus in the verses above are actually the same man, or perhaps two different men. Whether they are or not, for the sake of what I'll be sharing with you today, each or the one Erastus has something important to say to the message that I believe that God wants to share with us this morning. So I'm going to be very Anglican this morning and give you 3 points to take away. We are a part of God's plan. Number one, we are a part of God's plan. Number two, we are known to God. We are known to God. And finally, we are to follow Christ's example. Erastus was a part of God's plan. He was known to God, and he was following Christ's example. So first, we're a part of God's plan. For each of the children that were baptized here today, God has a plan. For each of you sat in the pews today, God has a plan. For those of us, only me left, for me, God has a plan. He has a plan for us all. Whether we choose to follow that plan or not, or follow our own plan, is another matter. I don't know if you've ever heard of the saying, man or woman plans and God laughs. We go to him with our ideas and explaining to God just how things should work, and he laughs. If this is to be true, I don't think he laughs in a humiliating or condescending kind of way, but instead in a, I know what is best for you, but I hear you, just as a parent does with a child. I know what's best for you. Erastus, we're told in Romans, was the city treasurer in Corinth. How easy would it be to say, so what does that have to do with the church, with God's plans? A treasurer, somebody that looks after money, perhaps. Unless we added the role church treasurer, can we think of that as a very much secular role that has nothing to do with us as a church? This role in public works would have made him quite an influential man. He may have had a role in ensuring the upkeep of buildings and streets were in order, possibly with oversight for Roman infrastructure. And I'm sure we've all heard of Roman roads, aqueducts and sewers that were made. I'm sure many have been updated now, but this was where they may have began. He may also have been included in collecting public revenue, his role as a treasurer. On top of that, he may have had a role as a lawyer that would have been involved in public disputes. He was an influential man with some important and potentially powerful roles, a man with a job, a career, a role which meant he was involved with people on a day-to-day basis. A job which would have meant he had an income. A job where he had influence. So when was his time for ministry? He was a busy man. How can that be? A hard-working man in a secular job. How could he take time out to go along with God's plan? God had a plan. Erastus. Now, this may have been where another Erastus comes in, was involved in practical ministry and missionary work in Macedonia. Whether they are the same person or not, God's plan to use these men, involving their practical skills, their word and their action. And for those of you that heard of Dorcas a few weeks ago, we heard of her gift of sewing being used to meet the needs of the people. And in turn, at the same time, she was sharing the word and love of God. It seems a similar thread of God's given gifts to Erastus are able to be used for the benefit of others, where ministry is living out one's faith, wherever they may be placed. The name Erastus means beloved. He was a co-worker of the Apostle Paul. Paul was very fond of those that he worked with. He often sent letters ahead to ensure that they were being well cared for when they went on their journeys. He also was seen to send letters of concern for their well-being. He cared about them. Erastus was known to Paul, and he was known to God. He believed in Jesus Christ. We here are all God's beloved children. Being known by God means he knows how we work, he knows how we tick, and he knows where we are best placed. And although Erastus may have only been mentioned 3 times in the Bible with very little details of his life and limited details of his ministry too, it doesn't mean that God knew him any less. It didn't mean he knew him any less than the prophets, the apostles, the kings that have got books written after them. There will, of course, also be many, many people who have worked for God who are not even mentioned in the Bible. And again, that doesn't mean they don't matter to God. Erastus was known by God. His movements would have been known by God. His travel would have been known by God. Psalm 139 says, "You have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up." God knows us. He knows where we are best placed. So Erastus may have been a civil servant in Corinth, but he was sent by Paul to Macedonia with Timothy, as we read in Acts 19. And the last mention we have is in 2 Timothy, where Erastus remained in Corinth. Where God led him, he went to share the gospel of Jesus with others. Erastus followed the call of God on his life to minister to others. Erastus, a man with a worldly job, also used his gifts to serve God. He earned money. By earning money through his works meant that he didn't need to be supported by others. And he may have used this money to spread the word of God. We don't all need to set aside our public duties and devote our entire lives to travelling to share the gospel. If we all became vicars, the church would be a very odd place, wouldn't it? In fact, we'd all be stood up here and there'd be nobody to speak to. How would the world operate without the valuable roles with each person in our society? Devoting our lives to God is about following the calling of God, the calling he's placed on our lives. Whether that's to be a mother, a dentist, a shop worker, a lawyer, and I'm sure if you were to say what it is you do with your week's work, there would be many, many more things. They're not 2 separate entities. And Erastus shows us that our lives and our work are one. They're the place in which we can minister to others, the place where we meet with others. So how does that help us to share the gospel? Our lives, when we know that God has a plan for us and that God knows us, reflect his light shining out upon society, the society in which we both live and work. Have you ever watched a child playing tea parties with their teddies and their dolls? They carefully place the teacups around the table. The wooden cakes and the plastic fruit come out, and they gently ask around the table who wants what, and they carefully pour out the tea, and they serve this delicious selection of plastic and wooden food. It's amazing. And there you are trying to drink an empty cup of nothing. But it's beautiful to watch them. What are they doing? They're imitating an example that they've seen. Often the words that come out of a child's mouth reflect what they have heard. And I've heard many a time my daughter saying things that I think, oh, that just sounds like me. She only says the good stuff, of course. And equally, I hear myself quoting my own mother, which you say you'll never do as a child. We reflect that which we've seen. So finally, we are to follow Christ's example. And our theme for today was public servant. Erastus was in the public service, a civil servant. He had influence. In Romans, when Paul is talking about authority, he tells us to let every person be subject to the governing bodies, for there is no authority except from God, and those authorities that exist have been instituted by God. And while leaders, as we've seen in our recent sermon series on Daniel, at times work for their own gain, it was not to their best end. God was ultimately power over all, ruler over all, and he guides and empowers leaders to watch over his people. Erastus' role as a public servant and co-worker of Paul was able to hold the ministering of God's work and his public role together, living the life of one who follows Jesus. Jesus is instrumental to introducing others to Jesus. So behaving like Jesus draws other people to Jesus. When the behaviour doesn't reflect one following Jesus, it can become a barrier. It can become a real barrier to people meeting Jesus. With such a public role, Erastus held a place of responsibility to be instrumental to others coming to faith, not to be a barrier. And sadly, we do know that this isn't always the case, and we don't always get it right. And God knows we don't always get it right. And as we have said in the baptism service, in answer to the questions, to the help to these young people, to continue helping them on their journey of faith, the answer was, with God's help, we will. Not in our own strength, but with the help of God, we will follow the example of Jesus. Our lives are public. What we do is seen. We may not have authority over others as Erastus did, but as parents, as grandparents, as teachers, as friends, as office workers, however you spend your week, your life is seen by others. What we do matters, and it's seen. Christ is our ultimate example. We started with the title Public Servant, and the reading we heard from Mark tells us, "For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve." He was our example. Through his example, we can see what it is to serve God and to serve our neighbour. Not so that that role we have been given any status, but that we can use every single opportunity to become more and more Christ-like. James and John thought they could take matters into their own hands and simply ask to sit at Jesus' right and left hand in glory. But Jesus corrects them and reminds them that the way to become great is actually to take on the role of a servant. Erastus could have allowed his status to define him. But we see a man who travelled where he was led, used the gifts and the role he was given to minister to others, to practically help them in Jesus' name and to draw them to Christ. No matter who we are, what education we've had, where we work or we spend our days, we are a part of God's plan. God knows us, and the best example that we can follow is that of Jesus Christ. Amen.